Well, over the summer, while I was on holiday, one of the books that I was reading was this book here, 50 Facts That Should Change the World. 50 Facts That Should Change the World. And there were some pretty amazing facts in this book. So, take an example. Fact 8 in the book was this, that every cow in the European Union is subsidised by $2.50 a day. And that's more than what 75% of Africans have to live on. In fact, the book goes on to say that each of the EU's 21 million cows, they could therefore afford each cow to go on a round-the-world trip once a year, and that they'd have about $400 left over for spending money. So there we go. Or there's fact 20 in the book. Fact 20, cars kill 2 people every minute. Or fact 25, apologies if you're American here for fact 25, but fact 25, a third of Americans believe aliens have landed on Earth. Or fact 36 is a very tragic fact. Fact 36, more people die each year from suicide than in all the world's armed conflicts. Or fact 48, a kiwi fruit flown from New Zealand to Britain emits 5 times its own weight in greenhouse gases. But at fact 22, as I was reading through these 50 facts, fact 22 was the one that is most relevant for us this lunchtime. This is fact 22. More people in the world can identify the golden arches of McDonald's than the Christian cross. So more people in the world can identify the golden arches of McDonald's, the McDonald's logo, than can identify the Christian cross. That's the world we live in. That is the culture we live in. Our culture, it's more moulded by McDonald's than by the Christian faith. Believers in the one true God, they're in the minority. In the minority in this country, in the minority in our workplaces. Just as was the case for Daniel back in Babylon. And so our challenge today is the same. It's just the same as Daniel's challenge back then. Our challenge is to participate in our culture, but to remain distinct as Christians, and not just sort of blend into the environment that we find ourselves in. Our challenge is to stand up for God in our workplaces. And if you've been here the previous couple of weeks, that's what we've been thinking about in this series on Daniel, standing up for the Lord at work. And this lunchtime, what we're going to do is we're going to answer 3 questions. You'll see the 3 questions there on your handouts if you want to have a look at them. And in the previous 2 weeks, we focused mainly on the first 2 questions there. So we're going to spend most of our time today on the third question. But firstly, if you look at question 1 there. Question 1, how do we stand up for God at work? How? Well, here in Daniel 6, Daniel's now an old man by this time. He's probably in his late 70s. There's a new king on the block, King Darius. And this plan, it's been hatched by the other government officials to catch Daniel out. So this decree has come. If you look at verse 7, this decree's come. This decree in verse 7, that anyone who prays to any god or man except the king shall be thrown to the lions. That's the decree. But Daniel wasn't going to obey this decree. He's been loyal to the king over many, many years. He's an old man now. He's been loyal to the king. But when there is a choice to be made, serving the living God came before serving the king. Just take a look, if you will, at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So there's no debate in his mind. There's no thought that he might do anything different from before. There's no sort of decision to suddenly have his prayer times in the loo from the next month. No, what is striking is how transparent Daniel is. Everyone knew what kind of a guy he was, what he stood for. His enemies knew, the king knew. People could see his consistency and what it stemmed from. And that is the challenge for us here who are Christians. Do our colleagues see the same continued consistency in our actions and our words? Or are we chameleon-like, changing the way we live depending on the situation around us? I've been talking recently over the last few weeks to a guy who goes to the other lunchtime service, the one over at St. Paul's. And his company, they're trying to get rid of him at the moment. They want him out of the company. And it has been a very difficult few months for him. There have been disciplinary hearings. There have been underhand tactics. There have been payoffs offered. It's been a horrible few months. And the challenge for this challenge is he living consistently the same in the situation now as he was living when all was going well in the job a few years ago? Is he living the same now? Or has his gracious attitude gone? Has his principle of never lying disappeared under pressure? Has his desire to pray for his boss, has that vanished due to the anger he feels for the way he has been mistreated? How do we stand up for the Lord at work? Well, this is how. Whatever the pressure, whatever the situation you as an individual find yourself in your workplace, be like Daniel. Be like Daniel, who, end of verse 10, did just as he had done before. Just as he'd done before. Regular, consistent living in all circumstances. And if anything is the key to helping us do that, well, it is regular, consistent prayer. That's the case for Daniel, isn't it? There we see him, age 70 plus, three times a day, just as he'd done before, getting down on his knees, just as he'd done before, to pray, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. W.E. Orchard wrote this. He wrote this: if your acts of prayer are the most regular thing in your life, I think you will find they regulate everything else. If your acts of prayer are the most regular thing in your life, I think you will find they regulate everything else. How about our second question? What happens? What happens when we stand up for God at work? I wonder if you were here last week as we looked at Daniel chapter 3, I wonder if you were struck by the similarity between that chapter and this chapter here in Daniel 6. In Daniel chapter 3, we had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do? They stand up for God, and what happens? Well, there's a huge cost. They get thrown into the fiery furnace. So there's a cost, but there's also a comfort. You'll remember that there's a fourth figure, an angel, one like a son of the gods, with them in the furnace. So there's a cost and a comfort for them. And there's a cost and a comfort here for Daniel in chapter 6. He stands up for God. What happens? He gets chucked into the lion's den. A huge cost. But then there's also a comfort too. Just look, if you will, at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Daniel says, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions." So what happens both times is a cost and a comfort. So our first two questions. How do we stand up for God at work? Regular, consistent living, backed up by regular, consistent prayer. And our second question, what happens when we stand up for God at work? Well, there's likely to be a cost. We have to accept that. There is likely to be a cost, but there's also a comfort too in the suffering. God with us. But let's now focus on the third and final question that you'll see there. Why? Why bother? Why bother standing up for the Lord at work? Why should we? Particularly if that course of action can often mean a huge cost. Because if we're not clear on why, then when the difficult decisions come for us, when the boss wants us to lie, when we're fearful about speaking about Jesus with our colleague, when sexual temptation arises, when we're offered a promotion but it means far more travel and so far less time to be with our family and be with church commitments, when those kind of decisions come, well, we need to have it rooted firmly in our heads, in our hearts, as to why we should keep standing up for God. Daniel, he kept standing up for God, and I think we see the two key reasons why he did that. We see it most clearly at the end of the chapter. In those last two verses, you'll see right at the bottom of the page, verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. So what's happened? Daniel, he's miraculously survived the lion's den. And as a result, King Darius, he writes to everyone. He writes to them about Daniel's God. And let's see what he says. Halfway through verse 26, "For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Now, there are two reasons there as to why to stand up for God. And the first one's in verse 26. It's because of God's rule. God's rule. We're reminded in verse 26 that God's rule, it is for eternity, forever. Just look again, if you will, at verse 26. Look at what it says there. "He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion, it'll never end. God's rule is for eternity." And we who are Christians, we are a part of that eternal kingdom, that eternal rule. Just flick over, if you will, just to chapter 7 on the next page. And look at verse 18 of chapter 7. At the bottom of the page there, verse 18 of chapter 7. It says there, "But the saints of the Most High," that's all Christians, "the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever." So we who are trusting in Jesus, we receive and possess the kingdom, God's kingdom, forever. That is future security for eternity. There is no greater gift. And you see, it is only when we are secure in the future. It's only when we are secure in where we are heading for eternity that we will be prepared to stand up for the Lord now at work, whatever the cost. After all, even if we become less popular, even if we lose our job, what is that compared to an eternity in God's kingdom rather than outside of it? So why stand up for God at work? Why? Well, firstly, because of God's rule, which guarantees us future security. But there's a second reason, too, as to why we should stand up for God. That's in verse 27. Verse 27, because of God's rescue. His rescue. Just look at verse 27 again, if you will, back over at the bottom there. Verse 27. Verse 27, "God rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." God is a rescuing God. He rescued Daniel from the lion's den, rescued him from physical death. But if you are here today as a Christian, he has rescued you from something far more terrible. He has rescued you from spiritual death. Now, is that what brings meaning, brings significance to our lives in the present? You see, if our job is what really brings us our ultimate significance in the present, then when there is a choice to be made between our job or standing up for God, well, we'll compromise. Or if our lifestyle, if our income, if our way of life, if that's what gives us ultimate significance in the present, then again, we will compromise if there is a choice between our lifestyle and standing up for God. Or if what brings us our ultimate significance in the present is our desire for popularity, our desire to be liked by our colleagues. Again, if there is a choice to be made between popularity and standing up for God, again, we will compromise. But if our ultimate significance, if it comes from knowing how precious we are to God, that he didn't just send an angel to shut the mouth of a lion, but he sent his one and only Son to die for us, to rescue us. If that is where our present ultimate significance comes from, that God loves me that much that he sent his own Son to die for me, to rescue me, If that is where our ultimate present significance comes from, then we are far more likely to stand up for the Lord at work when the challenges of compromise come. One of my earliest memories when I was about five, it's one of the earliest things I remember, was going on holiday to Pembrokeshire in Wales. And my mum and dad, what they'd done is they'd booked this holiday cottage in Wales. And one of the things I was most excited about there was the fact that there was a bunk bed. And I was going to be able to sleep on the top bunk. Now, this was very, very exciting for me. Until one night. You see, the top bunk, it was built like this. It just sort of had two little blocks at either end. But the problem was that I was rather small, age five, and so I fitted between those two blocks. And so one night I rolled over in my sleep, I rolled through the gap, and I landed on the floor. And I haven't been too keen on bunk beds ever since, I must admit. Well, Christians, I would like you to keep that picture in your mind as you think about why stand up for the Lord at work. If I write God's rule, God's rescue on those two blocks there, how big an influence do those two have in your life? If it's only a small influence, well, when the pressure comes to stop standing up for God at work, it'll be so very easy to just sort of roll over and go the way of the world. For any here who aren't yet Christians, well, currently, actually, these two blocks, they don't even exist in your life. God's rule, which would give you future security. God's rescue, which would give you present significance. Currently, neither of those exist in your life. So could I just ask you to think about whether you want future security? Whether you want present significance? The future is, it's very insecure, not just this life, but in death. In the present, we can feel very insignificant. And yet the claim of Christianity is that trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our ruler, our rescuer, it actually provides us with both of these two things. Future security, present significance. If that is true, if you're not yet a Christian, it is worth being a part of it. Our Christianity Explored course that we run is a great way, there's details here, it's a great way of investigating that, asking questions you might have about the Christian faith. Can I recommend that to you? But can I just finish by going back to those of us who are Christians here? I guess that's probably the majority of us here. Those of us who are Christians, if God's rule and God's rescue, if they don't have a small influence, but rather a huge influence in our life, if we know in our heads and our hearts quite how amazingly we benefit from these two things, future security, present significance, well then it is far more likely that we will keep standing up for the Lord at work, that you won't roll over and go the way of the world, but that you'll remain distinctive, making a difference for the Lord at work. Let's pray. He is the living God and he endures forever. Living God, we thank you for the reminders of your rule and your rescue this lunchtime. Living God, for those of us who are Christians here, we pray that these two truths can have a greater impact on us. We pray that they would be encouraging us to keep standing up for you at work, whatever the circumstances. And we pray too for this time next week when we've got the half-hour lunch. We pray, Lord, that that would be a time when people would come to see how the Lord Jesus can be their rescuer and their ruler. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.